Welcome back. The situation in Ukraine gets even more tense by the day. Also increasing by the day, the number of sanctions and penalties that countries around the world are levying against Russia as a result. Today, Prime Minister Stephen Harper announced that Canada has imposed new economic sanctions against 9 more Russian individuals and 2 Russian banks. But does this action have any kind of an impact? Well, to talk more about that situation, we are joined once again by Lincoln Mitchell, a consultant on politics and business in the former Soviet Union and an advisor to the Human Rights Institute at Columbia University. Lincoln, thanks for being back with us.
Thanks for having me back.
Does this kind of stuff work, these kind of individual sanctions?
These sanctions can work, but they tend not to work quickly. So for a population that maybe or a media that's looking for immediate results, they're not going to find those. Sanctions are rarely designed to work quickly. But targeting specific individuals can be a better approach because it doesn't hurt ordinary Russians who are already, by the way, seeing some economic problems increasing in Russia. So things are not going well in Russia. So in general, this is a good approach. Whether it's a sufficient approach, that's a different question, and there I have my doubts.
Okay, why?
Well, because Russia is set on destabilizing Ukraine, and I suspect that before they decided to do this, they must have accepted that sanctions were going to come. This is not something they did out of the blue. It's not something that just came up. They must have known there would be some consequence. So I suspect that in the heads of the Russian leadership, they've already kind of made the calculation, we'll do this, the West will do that, but that's not going to dissuade us.
Why? I mean, what is the benefit to Russia to destabilize Ukraine? You said so yourself that they're in economic trouble.
Well, the benefit for Russia to destabilize Ukraine is that an unstable Ukraine is a Ukraine that cannot move towards the European Union and that cannot move to NATO. So stopping Ukraine from doing those things, regardless of what the precise way of doing that is, helps Russia achieve its goal. So that's why. Whereas the U.S., our goal or the West's goal here is to move Ukraine towards democracy, towards the West, towards NATO, towards the European Union. But an unstable Ukraine just stops all that from happening. Even if it's an unstable Ukraine that is not pro-Russia. Russia doesn't need that.
Okay. Is that short-sighted then on Russia's part? Because if they're not going to worry about the financial complications or economic complications right now, pretty soon they're going to have to.
Well, it may in fact be short-sighted on Russia's part, but countries make decisions that are short-sighted all the time. And in addition, Russia has some, just like the United States or any country, has some very serious problems that are not going to be solved by destabilizing a large country to its south, and that may in fact be made worse. But it's important to think through the short and, but particularly the short-term domestic political considerations that drive Vladimir Putin in a situation like this. Just like if the United States were doing a military action somewhere, you'd have to stop and ask yourself, well, you know, why? What's driving the president, whether it's Bush, Obama, or somebody else, to do this? And the data suggests that Putin's numbers have gone up in Russia. He's still relatively popular. Now, in the long run, it's hard to imagine. The thing that I think will potentially be very damaging for Putin's support is that if he sends troops across the border, and if they are met with a meaningful insurgency of any kind, that will create real problems for the Russian military, and that will eventually erode Putin's support in Russia. But that's still a few steps away from happening.
So clearly he thinks he can deal with that when the time comes.
He thinks he can, but he's acting on the notion that there won't be an insurgency because as Putin has made clear, in the past, he doesn't really think Ukraine is a country, which is to say he doesn't really think that the people there think that it's worth fighting for Ukraine. Now, we're beginning to see data out of Ukraine, including out of eastern Ukraine, that suggests that Putin is wrong. And if he is wrong about that, then invading would be, really formally invading and sending real numbers of troops across the border as opposed to this kind of semi-invasion that he's doing now, that would be a real mistake for him that would really blow back at him pretty quickly.
So these individual sanctions that we're talking about today, even the ones against the Russian banks, like won't that eventually cause problems for the friends with money that surround Putin and prop him up?
That's exactly the hope. That's exactly the hope of these sanctions, is that the people around him who like to keep their money overseas, who like to be able to travel and do business overseas, whether it's that those people say to the president, look, say to the president of Russia, look, this is really creating problems for us. That's the bet. But, it's not clear that Putin will listen to them at that point. But that's the strategy behind it.
Okay. And that is a long-term strategy, isn't it?
Well, it's not a two-week strategy, no.
Yeah.
You know, and I think...
And it won't help the Ukraine. It won't help Ukraine at this point, will it?
It won't help Ukraine at this point, no. But we're in for longer... The Ukraine's... I mean, you and I have been chatting about events in Ukraine for almost 4 or 5 months now.
Yeah, we have.
And it's not ending. So this may be a longer-term problem for which, you know, the United States and Canada and other allies are seeking medium to long-range solutions, which is a very rational way to go about it, given how a firmer military response is really not on the table. There have been some troop movements and that kind of thing, but actually putting any kind of military force on the ground is really unthinkable. So there are fewer options than in other cases.
Now, is the United States doing the same thing? I mean, are other countries doing the same thing?
Canada and the United States are pursuing very similar strategies on this, yes.
Are we alone?
No, we have partners in Europe, too. Now, the European companies do a lot more business with Russia, so there's beginning to be some pushback on that from individual European companies that don't want to lose the business, which is also natural. There's also another piece of this, which is very interesting, which is that the natural beneficiary of this, I mean, for example, in the Russian media recently, there was something that says, you know, given the sanctions, we're going to turn our space cooperation and our aeronautics industry cooperation, we're going to increase our cooperation with China in those areas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's good for China, obviously. But it does raise a kind of interesting question that to make this statement about, you know, the import of democracy and human rights, one of the results is we're going to send business to a country that, unlike Russia, is an unambiguous dictatorship, and that even now has a human rights policy that is worse than Russia. So there is a complexity to this.
Well, there sure is, which is why I'm sure we're going to have you back, Lincoln. So thank you very much for your time today.
My pleasure. Take care.
That's Lincoln Mitchell, consultant on politics and business in the former Soviet Union, talking about the situation with Canada and Ukraine. Stay tuned. More when we come back.